The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host tonight, Matthew Holmes. You can find me on X at MLB at Matt. And I'm joined tonight by Terrence Cushman Jr. You can find him at X on at Cushman MLB. Well, Terry, another win at home against the Yankees. Who would have thunk it? What's your initial thoughts after tonight's win?
Well, I'm no more excited than I was a couple days ago, but you can't say that the Red Sox didn't do their job. I think the Yankees might be a little bit asleep at the wheel. They don't have Judge. I don't know if that's really a factor against the Red Sox because I feel like we strike him out all the time. But yeah, and you know, it was a good performance by Peyton Tolle, who I've been skeptical about, not in the long term, but the short term with the pitch mix, but he's making it work. So I don't know if my concerns are really valid at this point or not without viable secondary pitches. So, but he's making it work in 7 strong innings. Solid performance.
Yeah, he has, though, you know, he only has 2 pitches, but he has some intangibles, right? He brings the energy, he brings the fire, some competitiveness, and it was really good to see him get a Yankee win against the Yankees. I know at this point in the season, regardless of where we are in the standings, I'll take a win against the Yankees any day of the week. But yeah, I actually called it last night that I thought he was going to pitch well tonight. I thought he was going to pitch deep into the game. I said in my predictions last night that he would go into the 7th. He gives you 7 strong innings, really spun a gem, right? Took a perfect game into the 6th inning. It was impressive. He was pitching like he had a hot date after the game, just getting up there and chucking it. And honestly, after we gave him a couple run lead early in the game, it was just, it's always nice to see him pitch with a lead. We don't get to see that often. I think we saw it back in Atlanta. Actually, in Atlanta, he was trailing. But when you give these guys a lead, him and early leads, they can go out there and start attacking these lineups. And it's almost like their mindset changes, or their just pitch selection and the energy with which they pitch on the mound changes a little bit. But I also said that he would continue our streak of 9 or more strikeouts from the starters. Fell a little short of that, gave you 7 strikeouts. But 2 walks there late in the 7th and seemed to run out of gas. But yeah, 7 shutout. The bullpen got it done. They did squeeze 1 run in there late in the game, but totally fun to watch pitch. I mean, I think your concerns are kind of valid, right? He doesn't have as much of a pitch mix as a guy like Early, right? Seems to be kind of a 1 or 2 trick pony with that fastball sinker combo, albeit high velocity, right? We know what happens. Eventually you're going to have to learn how to pitch, but also kind of a bit of a violent motion, and you know, you never know with these guys and their arms. So durability, I don't know if it's too early to question, but 7 strong, pitch mix was good. Never got into trouble really with the innings. Obviously, first base runner there in the 6th inning. So really good stuff there. Anything else on Tolle or the pitching this evening?
Yeah, I mean, so the strikeouts are kind of up and down for him. He had, what, only 2 in his last outing, but was getting a ton of contact outs. And so that's just kind of one thing. I did notice he threw a 4-seamer tonight towards the later innings. It was only 93 miles an hour. So, you know, it's just, he's interesting. And I don't know if he's my favorite pitcher on the staff, but you know me, I love Ranger Suarez, so I don't know, it's a close second, but I love Tolle, I love Early, and you know, I've said multiple times, how much worse would it be if Peyton Tolle and Connolly early weren't having amazing rookie years. Think of how much, I mean, it's already catastrophic. I don't think that's an inappropriate tag for this team, but I just, it would be gruesome if Toley and Early hadn't stepped up.
Not just him, but Sonny Gray, right? Pitching, having almost a career year, 9-1 record. So I think, I don't know what his numbers are with the no decisions, but just call it 8 games above .500 when he's on the mound. And we're what? We've improved to 12 games under .500 now. So you're talking maybe 19, 20 games below .500 swing if you don't have Sonny Gray's record. But yeah, I think that's one of the unfortunate things is Toley, Early. Honestly, all these guys, Ranger Suarez, they're going out there. They're giving you quality starts almost every night. And we just can't scratch together enough runs to get them wins. And when we do, then the bullpen maybe seems to lose it. But the one bright spot of this team, despite the record, is no matter who is starting on the bump each night, they kind of give you a reason to watch. You're kind of thinking, oh, this guy's going to give a good start. You mentioned Ranger Suarez. He is fun to watch. He is a different type of pitcher, kind of an artist out there, completely different than Toley. We got a lot of similar guys in terms of left-handed starting pitchers, but they're all different in different types of ways, and they'll carve you up and get outs in different ways with velocity, with location, with pitch mix. They pitch well with runners on base. So, yeah, the starters have been fun to watch, and obviously we know what the offense has been doing, and then just lately the bullpen hasn't really been able to figure it out, but that's back-to-back wins at home versus the Yankees. Last night, they kind of gave it to you a little bit with the errors. Tonight, we took it from them with some hits and some runs early and some key runs. We manufactured some runs there, too. So it was great to see. And with Toley pitching a gem like that, you didn't really need much on the board to score. But we never really relinquished that lead, that 3-run lead. And then we kept padding it on as the game went on. So you always love to see that. Obviously, the offense looked a little alive tonight. No one's more alive or feisty than Wilson Contreras, huh? That guy just always seems to want to fight when he's out there, no matter what's going on, who the team is. He's just looking to brawl. Not sure if you saw it there. I was actually listening during that part, but pitch up and in, he took offense to it. Any thoughts on Wilson and his antics tonight?
That's just who he is. I didn't have a problem with it. The last time around, when they played the Brewers, I didn't really have a problem with how he reacted on the way to first base. I had a huge problem with him spiking David Hamilton, sliding into second. But yeah, tonight's not a, you know, you want to fire up your team. And, you know, I mean, there's not a lot to be excited about. You had recently Sonny Gray saying, yeah, I'll waive my no trade clause. You had Zach Kelly, despite being in the minor, saying, I think I'm a big leaguer and, you know, just trade me if you don't. Yeah. And I think another pitching program and another organization, maybe Zach Kelly could be a stud. I don't know. We've seen flashes of it. So you have that on one hand, but then you have Wilson Contreras, you know, still, you know, dying on the hill every night, trying to give it all he's got. And yeah, I mean, I didn't mind it. And go back in history. This is like the poorest man's version of it. 04, you had A-Rod and Veritek, the famous benches clearing brawl with that iconic picture of the both of them. I don't recall anything from 07.
I got it hanging on my wall, by the way, the iconic picture there, the face. Okay.
Yeah. And again, nothing from 07 stands out. Perhaps something occurred. But then in 2013, you had Ryan Dempster plunking Alex Rodriguez, I think not long after he came back from a suspension or something. And I don't know if the bench has cleared necessarily, but there was a lot of tension. And then in 2018, you had the even more iconic Joe Kelly. I forget the player's name. Tyler Austin, actually. And, you know, and then you had those T-shirts of Joe Kelly, you know, attempting to land a punch, which actually did not land. It looked good at first. But so, and then tonight is like a poor man's version of all the previous history. But yeah,
Yeah, the Joe Kelly Fight Club. That was great. Made for some good still shots, although ultimately not the best fight. 07, 08, not much fire there. But if you recall, Coco Crisp and Big Game James, we had a little bit of rivalry with the Rays that year. So
true. That was in 08, I think.
Yep, 08, right after the 07 season. But again, we were going for back-to-back, and it was the Rays that knocked us out of that ALCS later that year too. So to your point, a little feistiness can go a long way in a long Major League Baseball season. I mean, look, on one hand, I think his antics are a little bit old and tiring, right? He seems to just go out there looking for a fight every time. On the other hand, I know he went deep against Warren in the at-bat before that. And so, you know, he comes up and in and brushes him off the plate or whatnot. He takes offense to it. I mean, look, the guy stands as close to the plate as possible. So you're going to get some pitches. Any pitch inside is going to be, you know, looking like it's coming at you. But at the same time, this is a pretty lifeless last place team right now. And I'll take the energy and the fire any way we can get it. Any way to motivate these guys to get up and want to play harder, run harder, you know, try to do their best to fire them up, motivate them. I think I'll take it despite, you know, where we are as an organization in last place. They're still professionals. They're still competitors. There's still plenty of things they can be working on day in and day out that may not come to fruition in this season, but can build upon from season after season, right? That's how you become a good big leaguer, continuously adjusting, continuously putting in maximum effort. And from that perspective, I'll take it. And I don't know how much it impacted the win tonight, but we won regardless of it. So I'm not too upset about it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I don't think we'll be talking about it later this year in the same light as the 04 spark with A-Rod and Jeter. But also, was it 03 too? We had some Don Zimmer action. Actually talking about the war room there too, Don Zimmer and Pedro. And what was that, Garcia, right fielder, when Pedro threw kind of over his shoulder there in 03. Right. And that maybe that was 04. But yeah. Plenty of stories in the rivalry. I don't know how much this will impact it, right? It's first place team versus a last place team, but we'll take the fire. We'll take the spark any way we can get it. A guy that was unable to give us a spark tonight landed on the IL today. Bit of a surprise here on news for Marcelo Meyer. I think you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, so here we go again, right? You know, he's about to start his annual summer vacation on the injured list. He's got a bone bruise in his arm, which is going to take a little bit of time, apparently. Perhaps not a ton of time, but there is no timetable. That's what was reported today by Sean McAdam. So it's frustrating, you know, to lose him. You've also lost Roman Anthony. And I'm not the first person to give this take, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's for the full season at this point. I mean, he just hasn't really made a ton of progress. He's still in pain as of a week ago when he takes a swing. You know, so I guess the larger picture here is this farm system that Heim Bloom built is looking like a bust.
Yeah, I mean, the big three are all not on the roster, right? If we're adding up WAR, it doesn't add to much. Christian Campbell can't hit AAA pitching right now, and Meyer has joined Roman Anthony on the list. And again, another vague injury where it totally wouldn't surprise me if we don't see him at all the rest of the season, or at least until later in the season. It's just, apparently he's been battling it. So hopefully a couple of days off will do him some justice. But yeah, I mean, it just feels contagious right now, all the things that can and will go wrong for us, right? Whether it's hitting program, strength and conditioning program. I mean, at this point, I feel like we know enough about the biology, you know, the sports and science about factors of it with diet and regimen that we really shouldn't be seeing so many injuries that we see right now. outside of maybe all those crazy shoulder and elbow injuries that these guys that throw at 100 miles an hour, I think I can understand that piece. But outside of that, these guys are just going down way too early and way too often, in my opinion. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen kind of lower offensive numbers across the board. But yeah, in general, an unfortunate thing, although Chang, maybe we found lightning in a bottle there. He had a bit of a come out party, his first career hit with a double tonight. I don't know. To your point, Chaim Bloom built this system and, you know, we held on to the prospects and we wanted to build around all of these guys, but they haven't really given you much at the major league level to this point. And it's been quite a while, right? Chaim Bloom's been gone for 3 to 4 years. So these are guys we drafted a long time ago. Marcelo Meyer is a product of that lost 2020 season, right? We thought he would be a building block for the future. And he has about 115 games under his belt, 114 games, I think. So, you know, 2/3 of a regular season. Man, just been another tough run here.
And, you know, there was a report earlier today, or perhaps it was yesterday, within 24 hours of him going on the injured list, where some in the organization are speculating that Marcelo Meyer lacks toughness. And take that combined with reports from spring training that he's not motivated enough. And apparently that's why Alex Cora wouldn't commit to him, you know, every day. And in fact, for a lot of spring training, he wasn't even guaranteed a roster spot. So it just seems like there's a lot of problems here with Marcelo Meyer. You're not getting that stuff with Roman Anthony. Maybe the toughness could come into question, but I'm not quite there yet. It's terrible.
Well, certainly the jury was out on his ability to stay healthy for a full season. We knew that coming into this season and previous seasons, even in the minor leagues, he has yet to put together a full, healthy, productive season. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that's why we weren't able to move him, right? Same with a guy like Duran. Maybe, you know, these other executives are smart. They see what we see and they weren't taking the bait when Craig tried to float him. Or it's possible that Craig didn't try to move him hard enough. You know, what if we move Mayer and kept Kyle Teal, or, you know, kept a different guy in that White Sox package, right? I feel like with what the output you've got from a guy like Mayer, you wouldn't have minded moving him for major league talent in the past, right? I.e. Kyle Teal or Chase Mydrott that we gave up for Crochet, Montgomery hit a bomb in his first game, right? Guys that you're seeing flashes of productivity in the big leagues. You really only saw a couple good swings at a Meyer in his big league career. He had a fun home run in Yankee Stadium, you know, a couple home runs this year, but that's it. So yeah, it's unfortunate. We need some more production out of the prospects, out of the entire team really. And just seems contagious top to bottom with the decisions that were made or weren't made, moves that were made or not moved, right? If the MO was that he can't stay healthy, but he has some talent, right, then we should have been trying to move him all along. But, you know, it's also possible that he is back in 2 weeks. And for once, it's not an extended period of time that he's out. But I don't know. It's been a tough run for these prospects here.
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully he hears the noise. Hopefully he's like, okay, nobody has faith in me at this point. I have to get back and I have to finally earn it. Like that's the perfect world scenario right there. And he's really had every opportunity to succeed this year. You know, he started at second base, finally got to go to shortstop after Trevor Story was injured. I don't think he's playing, you know, a ton of lefties, but I mean, he's had opportunities. And if he starts mashing righties, maybe you have to play him against lefties at that point. Maybe the upside is just too immense that you have to do it. And, you know, so that's part of the frustration. Another thing I want to get into here is, and I kind of touched on it, but Chaim Bloom's farm system just not looking great, you know, and that was, That was what the Bluminati always praised. As soon as he got fired, they touted this amazing farm system. And I mean, Meyer on the injured list, Anthony on the injured list again. Christian Campbell, as you said, is in purgatory. Kyle Teal traded to the White Sox, but last I checked, which was pretty recently, he has not made one major league start this year. So he's been hit by the injury bug.
He's been injured, I think, hamstring for Teal.
Was it a hamstring? Wow. That's a long
time.
Yeah,
lingering one. Yep, it'll linger, but yeah. Huh.
And so, you know, and then I look back to 2016, what our farm system looked like right before Dave Dombrowski essentially dismantled it. And it was regarded by some of, I don't know if it was MLB Pipeline, Baseball America, or which one, but it was regarded to be the best farm system in Major League Baseball and at least top two or three on some of the other publications. And Dave Dombrowski traded three of the top five prospects. He traded Yoan Moncada, who everyone thought, as Charlie would say, would be baseball Jesus. He traded our two best pitching prospects, Anderson Espinoza and Michael Kopech. None of whom really panned out. I mean, Yoan Moncada was okay. You know, basically an average to maybe slightly below average major leaguer. Never lived up to the hype. Kopech had flashes and really found the bulk of his success in the bullpen. Was injury prone. I don't know what became of Anderson Espinoza. I know he had Tommy John after that, and I don't know if he made a major league start or not. Perhaps he did, but he essentially wasn't a major league pitcher. So that's three of your first five prospects that he flipped. The two that he did not trade in that top five was Andrew Benintendi and Rafi Devers. So he kept the right two. He knew which ones to ship out and he knew which ones to keep. And Benintendi, I think, made his debut in August of 2016, had a very good final month and a half, and then had a decent postseason. It was only one series. We got swept 3-0, but he strung together some hits in that. And Devers was a horse for a while, and for almost a decade. So I think we owe Dave Dombrowski an apology. We've seen a couple farm systems that just weren't great. Looking down at the rest of the top 10, not that these guys had major hype, but you had Brian Johnson, who could barely top 90 miles an hour. Sam Travis, who I was an apologist for, but never really panned out. Luis Basabe. I don't know what became of him. Devin Marrero was ninth, and Michael Chavis was 10th in the farm system. We didn't trade them. He did trade Mauricio Dubon, who was 12th. He was in the, I want to say, the Tyler Thornburg trade with the Brewers.
Yep, that's correct.
Pat Light never really became much. Just looking down to see if anybody broke through, but nobody in the top 30 actually. So, you know, so this farm system, I guess I took a long way to get there. This current farm system kind of looking like the 2016 farm system, except you don't have your Devers and you don't have your Benintendi. Ironically, I hate to give Breslow credit for anything, but he did draft Toley and early, or acquired. I forget how we got early. I think we drafted him, but either way, acquired him. Those were Breslow guys.
Look, Breslow's got an eye for arms for sure. The starting pitching speaks for itself. Shout out to Michael Kopech. It's been a while since I've heard his name. He was a young, highly touted prospect for us, right? Throwing like almost 105 in the minor leagues. So, but yeah, turned into a reliever, and the White Sox actually flipped him for Miguel Vargas, I believe, who's playing pretty well for them. And we know that they're a first place team out there in the AL Central. At least last time I checked, Miguel Vargas been a very productive third baseman for him. So good on the White Sox for flipping Kopech for a seed that grew into a pretty good player too, if we want to keep that branch going. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I've mentioned it before, with the last legitimate hitter we had come through our system was Rafi Devers. Benintendi shortly before him, but Devers was the last one. And I think now Sadon, maybe you can safely say, is truly a developed big league hitter the way he's been playing this year. We'll see if he keeps it up, but I don't know. Maybe the key to success is taking from other teams' farm system, right? Or taking from other teams, poking around their garbage can and see what you can have. You know, guys like Narvaez or Whitlock, who we've kind of got from the bottom of the barrel on the Yankee side. And since we're playing, we've been playing against the Yankees, Terry, out of the 26 active members of the Red Sox roster right now, do you know how many of them are former Yankees or were in the Yankee organization at some point in time out of those 26?
Yes, because we talked about it pre-show, but off the top of my head, I think I only got to about four without looking, though.
Yep, you were getting warmer and warmer, but the number is 10. Almost half of the active roster came through or touched the Yankees organization at some point. I mentioned Narvaez and Garrett Whitlock. I think more popular names are Chapman or Sonny Gray. Weissert came over in the Verdugo trade. But some surprising names on this list, some guys you saw in the lineup today actually hurting the Yankees a little bit. Caleb Durbin, Anthony Siegler, right? Danny Kalum. Interesting names, but yeah, 10 of these guys came up through the Yankee organization. I thought that was a fun fact worth sharing. Breslow just has a knack for lefty arms, trading with former foes in Heim Bloom and the Cardinals, trading with old friends in the Pirates, and digging around dumpsters of the Dodgers and the Yankees, I guess, and picking up some of these guys. But yeah, just interesting to see that 10 former Yankees are on the team. And actually, just seeing a comment here going back to that Miguel Vargas. Miguel Vargas hit another bomb tonight. So, yeah, that trade, the trade tree lives on from some of those Red Sox prospects that never panned out. And also, just quick note, Tommy Canley, who pitched tonight on the Yankees, and Mickey Gasper, didn't know this, but drafted by the Yankees in 2018 and then went back to the draft. So 10 players coming up through the Yankees organization at some point. Interesting thought there. Any other thoughts on just the state of the team here or the weekend, heading into the weekend series before we get to predictions?
Yeah, I think the Mickey Gasper honeymoon is about over. Last 30 games, he's hitting .221 with a .286. You're like, serviceable for a catcher. Last 15 games, hitting .143 with a .222 on base in it. And by the way, a .184 slugging. So I'm like, okay, you know, this is why he's a rookie. Well, I don't know if he's a rookie because he did play parts of last season, but this is why he's a 30-year-old guy that has not broken out yet. And just watching Connor Wong tonight, nobody had any problems with Connor Wong before we acquired Narvaez. And then and Gasper as well. You know, I think Connor Wong, we might look back and say he was the guy all along. You know, the knock was bad defense, but he's been the best hitter on a more consistent basis than anyone else in the organization. And he drove one in tonight. I mean, the game was kind of out of hand by that point, but you know, I think I'm a Wong guy for the rest of the season.
I don't understand it either. I don't understand the Gasper experiment. He had a good week there that kind of ignited the team. I mean, it wasn't like it set us off on any sort of run, but all of a sudden now we're carrying three catchers. All are subpar offensively. I mean, Wong has some positive attributes and brings some value to the team. But in general, they're all kind of mediocre at best major league catchers, and some guys like Gasper, that's a stretch. And then you're carrying a guy like Massa as well. That's four major league roster spots tied up with these guys. I don't understand it either. And he is somehow good enough to bat leadoff for us too, on top of it. I mean, hey, we got the win tonight. We got a win last night with Massa out of the leadoff spot. I guess it's slim pickings for where to put some of these hitters in the lineup. But yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe when Romy gets back or somehow Story comes back, that's when Gasper can get sent down. But until then, I mean, who's going to replace him? Christian Campbell, right? I don't know who else we've got. He's one of the best 12 hitters in the organization, I guess, at this time, unfortunately. But I'm ready for a few eras to end, Mickey Gasper being one of them. I wouldn't hate seeing Masataka Yoshida, you know, get sent on his way. I just want to start seeing some changes here. We keep rolling out the same lineup and for the most part get the same results outside of Durbin, who's finding a way to turn it around. But yeah, interesting enough. Just seeing a note here in the chat here, we were just talking about some of those White Sox prospects. Kyle Teal, I guess, was activated and hit his first home run tonight, believe it or not. So he also has the same amount of home runs as Roman Anthony already. So just interesting take there. Yeah, Teal back off the injured list about time here, late June. But interesting. Thank you for the info there, in the chat. Yeah, it's just been frustrating. You know, we're watching this Yankee series, and you've seen some tough throws from Volpe. I think Volpe had a hit late tonight, and he scored their run. And he's a guy that kind of gets a little shade on Twitter, on X, a guy that you like to make fun of, right? A highly touted, quote-unquote, prospect from the Yankee system comes up and just struggles, right? And then you sit there and you look, well, we got a whole team of Anthony Volpes right now, guys that we thought were going to be good in the next big thing, and they're coming up and fizzling out in the big league. So, man, it's just been tough. It's good to get a couple wins here against these Yankees, but I don't know if it'll keep up here. Any other thoughts on Tolley, the offense, before we dive into predictions?
Yeah, so just Christian Campbell real quick. I was thinking, you know, maybe he's a call-up when Breslow gets fired. You know, theoretically, the team's going to get blown up. So whatever, just see what he does. Call him up, see what he does. And then I pulled up his MILB page here, which is his minor league profile with all the stats. It's ugly. He's hitting 209 with a 337 on base. He's always been a decent on-base guy. 621 OPS. He's only hit two home runs this year. His last one was on May 5th. And since that last home run, he's only got seven RBI. So he is floundering bad down in Worcester. And I don't know what to do. What do you do with Christian Campbell?
Another immovable object that we have on the roster, right? Masataka Yoshida, I mentioned before, I think the only way you get him off the roster is flat out cutting or DFAing him. Christian Campbell, a lot of dead money, very expensive guy down in Worcester. His teammate now, Brian Bello, same thing. I think his last start pitched a little bit better, but not encouraging enough to say, hey, he's ready for the big leagues. And then, of course, you got dead money on the IL with Roman Anthony. And yeah, just the bad decisions across the board. I think Trevor Story's another guy in that immovable court where he's just worthless, right? Who would take on that contract, that player? He doesn't really give you much. Again, just a bunch of like negative war players right now that we have, which is kind of interesting considering this team was built off spreadsheets and war numbers and positive war numbers, and they're just not cutting it right now. But yeah, I don't know what's up with Christian Campbell. Haven't been to Polar Park in a while. I'll be there later this year in September. Maybe we'll get to see him up close and personal. But it seems like, to your point earlier about that 2016 farm system, maybe we didn't hold on to the right guys. And in this case, we shipped off the wrong guys, right? We seem to have won that sale trade and won the idea of keeping Devers and Benintendi. It's tough to keep that streak up. And I personally don't owe Dave Dombrowski an apology, because I was always a big fan of Trader Dave. not many people have done it better at his position than Dombrowski has. He's built championship contenders at multiple stops now. So, yeah, I was surprised and still surprised that they fired him to this day. We can, I guess, thank Sam Kennedy for that. But the two guys that followed in his suit combined couldn't fill one of his shoes. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just doing it all over again in Philly. And I know they can't quite close the deal in October, but, you know, and maybe in the end, it's going to end up looking like that power wagon that Detroit was that just kind of came up short. I mean, that Detroit team probably should have won a World Series, and it probably should have been in 2013. But the Red Sox just kind of willed their way past Detroit, despite losing game one of that ALCS. And, you know, that big poppy grand slam kind of sparked the rest of the series.
That was certainly a team of destiny, and you're right. That Detroit team certainly should have won a World Series if it weren't for that magical 2013 season. We'll take it. I definitely don't feel bad for any Detroit Tigers fans. But, yeah, the Phillies, it's interesting that we're just talking about the Phillies right now because they started similar to the Red Sox, right? Just a very unflattering out of the gates, 10 or so games below 500 or 7, whatever it was. But they've been able to turn around. They're 10 games above 500 right now. They're in a wild card spot. Obviously, we haven't been able to do the same. So, yeah, I just, you know, the pivot from Dave to Chaim Bloom, you kind of understand we're going to hit the reset button. We're going to reset salary. We're going to rebuild the farm system. They brought in the guy to do it, at least on paper. He rebuilt the farm system. We're seeing now that maybe there wasn't much in there. But then to not kind of take that step forward and end up with a guy like Craig Breslow, who, I mean, I guess he has some wins under his belt in terms of gems that he's found. We mentioned Toley early. The pitching has found success, but man, it's historically terrible offense, and we can go on all night about what he's been, all of his wrong decisions. But I guess at the end of the day, Terry, do you know how many games back we are of the wild card, despite being at the basement of the American League?
A couple of days ago, it was six, so it's probably four or five.
Yeah, four and a half now. So we still have a fighter's chance. I honestly can't believe the way the baseball season's been going this year and the American League having so many down teams or teams below 500. But I guess the question is, do you think this team is capable of winning 10 or 12 in a row? Because ultimately that's what it's going to take to truly get back in this thing at this point.
No, I don't. I think we just kind of caught the Yankees at the right time. And, you know, we're that puts us, what, 12 above, 12 below 500. I think that's where we're at right now. So it's just insurmountable and quite frankly unsustainable. I mean, you might not have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa for a while. I think Marcelo Meyer being out still does hurt you a little bit. You know, he hasn't been lost at the plate, but just overall not very productive. Duran's still floundering. I mean, I think Caleb Durbin might have more trade value than Jaron Duran at this point. We're not in a good spot.
No, we're not. I mean, I think the pitching is capable of giving us 10 or even 12 or 15 consecutive quality starts, but the offense isn't combined to do anything with those, that type of pitching. So even if we do get all the pitching success continues, I don't think they're capable of winning 10 in a row either. But I don't see Craig making any major moves at the deadline one way or another, whether it's buying or selling. So I think we just have to hold on and ride this thing out. And to your point, we're catching the Yankees at the right time. I'm going to pull up the matchup in a second, but we've got two more games with them. Who do you like tomorrow?
Well, I mean, if the Yankees finally wake up, theoretically, they have a shot. I mean, Jake Bennett will be starting for the Red Sox against Gerrit Cole. And Bennett's kind of been up and down. And, you know, if he's not terrible, you're going to have a decent chance. But you have to figure, I mean, even without Aaron Judge, they still have Paul Goldschmidt, who's had a very good June. They have Cody Bellinger. And just an overall solid lineup. Ben Rice, of course. So, I think the Yankees got to win at least one game here, if not the next two.
Yeah, I think the Cinderella run is over. Our mini two-game win streak is going to come to an end tomorrow. I like what I saw out of Jake Bennett, his last start. I think he's going to continue to build upon it. Despite not having some of their key right-handed bats in Judge, they still do have really good left-handed attackers in Goldschmidt, in Amed Rosario, who's a professional hitter, especially when it comes to left-handed pitching. I think they're due to run into a few, and Cole has been pitching well this season from what I've seen. So he's going to come out with a little sauce, a little chip on his shoulder, you know, coming out for the Yankees after two straight losses. He's going to want to shove. I think we're going to be struggling to score runs tomorrow. And then we've got Gray versus Rodon on Sunday Night Baseball. And although it's prime time, the Yankees will probably win that. If there's any game of these next two that the Red Sox have an outside chance of winning, it's probably that Gray start on Sunday night. So hopefully Jake Bennett continues to build on his last start. A lot of swings and misses. He was locating well. Seems to be improving. I mean, he's only got, what, five starts under his belt. So that'll be encouraging and fun to watch. And the Yankees have struggled against our left-handed pitching so far, whether it be early or totally. So we've got another young lefty to throw at him tomorrow. We're just going to have to find a way to scrape some runs against Cole, and then we'll have to see how it goes. But I think the Yankees take tomorrow, and then maybe the Red Sox give us a treat on Sunday before crawling back in a hole and losing more games. Let's at least win the series against the Yankees. Give us something to smile about this weekend.
All right, I'm not going to be smiling either way. I'm just counting down the days. And McAdam and Cotillo on their podcast speculated whether Breslow would survive the weekend. So it sounds like they're getting the vibes that things could be somewhat imminent, but we'll see.
Well, when is the draft again? Because I don't know if he gets fired before the draft. It's coming up, that's, right? It's got to be.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's usually right during the All-Star break, isn't it?
I thought it was usually June, but I look up, it's end of June. It's got to be, you know, early July around the All-Star break, probably by the All-Star break. And I think that's where the challenge is in letting a guy like Breslow or any GM at this point in the season go, is it's so close to the draft. It'd be really hard to onboard or catch somebody up to speed. And as much as I want to see him gone as well, it's just a really tough time in the season to do that. I think if anything, it comes potentially after the draft, before the deadline. Maybe he's been instructed, hey, don't make any moves. And do your best with the draft. Maybe he's identified some young arms in this draft. And if anything, they can maybe let go of him before the trade deadline. But I said it last night, I'm sticking to it. I think we're stuck with Craig for the rest of the year, whether we like it or not. Heading into next year, they'll look to clean house in the offseason. You know, he just gutted the coaching system, and a month later they're going to fire the GM. I think they have some serious decisions to make. Is it going to be Craig? Is it going to be Craig and Sam Kennedy? I hope Christmas comes early and both those guys are gone before December 25th, which is a long ways away. But my money's on, unfortunately, Craig staying the rest of the season. But, hey, you never know.
I think it's going to be shorter than that. I mean, in his appearance today on WEI, which happens every Thursday or every other Thursday, sometimes he and Kennedy rotate. They had a live audience, and he was booed badly. So I think the Red Sox are sick of hearing that. But I would say realistically, first or second week of August. I think we're stuck till then. But I think they'll finally rip the Band-Aid off.
Yep, and I'm seeing in the chat here, apparently the draft is July 11th. So, again, we're too close to that for them to make that move right now, to make that call right now. I did see that he got booed. I didn't hear the full interview, but it was nice to hear that, to hear him get booed. And at least he heard what the fans are all thinking. And I don't know. Hey, the guy's working harder than anybody. We haven't seen anybody change. We haven't seen any moves, but apparently he's working harder than anybody. So, in Craig we trust, right? Sarcasm for those who can't see my face right now.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Terry, any closing thoughts for the road?
Nope. We'll see what happens the remainder of the weekend.
All right. Sounds good. That'll do it for the Fire Breslow podcast tonight. Once again, presented to you by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. For more Bastards content,